You're listening to the Integrated Music Teaching Podcast from Top Music. Tune in weekly as we interview music teachers and experts from around the world to explore creative activities and ideas that build learning connections in students. Our integrated music teaching approach will deepen your students' understanding of musical concepts, engage them in critical thinking, improve their reading and performance, foster their curiosity, and prepare them for a lifetime of music making. Hi there, teachers. Tim Topham here, and welcome back to the Integrated Music Teaching Podcast. It's wonderful to be with you for another week as we inch ever closer to the end of the year and Christmas, etc. I do hope things have been going well in your studios and your recital, any of your recitals have been going well as you wrap things up. And for those of you doing exams, I hope those exam results have been pleasing for you all. So today we have a pretty big announcement to make. As you can see by the title, we are introducing a new podcast to the Top Music family. Many of you know that we introduced a guitar podcast, Top Music Guitar Podcast, a couple of years ago, which now has about 75 episodes, which Michael's recorded. It's a hugely varied show, and actually at least half the episodes are just as relevant to teachers of any instrument or voice. So I do recommend that you subscribe to that show as well if you are interested in that. You can just search for Top Music Guitar on any podcast player. Those shows have been really, really successful and have been very varied as well, with Michael looking at group teaching and pedagogy and business and all sorts of different aspects of running a guitar studio in particular, but as I said before, equally relevant to teachers of just about any instrument. So to align with our plans to introduce resources for more and more instruments and voice teachers in the coming years, I've decided to launch the new Top Music Piano Podcast to create shows specific to piano teachers again, kind of like how I started this show, I guess. And that's what we're going to be announcing today. So, who will be hosting the new show? I can hear you wondering. Well, my guest today is our new host. It's the amazing Dr. Rachel Ehring from Dream Lavender Music Studios. You may even have heard her on her own podcast, the Dynamic Piano Teaching Podcast. Dr. Rachel Ehring is a pianist, teacher, music administrator, and lover of piano teaching gadgets. She holds a DMA in collaborative piano from the University of Colorado Boulder, and an MM in accompanying from the University of Kansas. She currently serves as director at St. John's Conservatory of the Arts in Orange County, California. Previously, she held positions at Concordia University, Irvine, and Henderson State University. Rachel is passionate about empowering music teachers to create engaging and exciting lessons for students of all ages. And when she isn't playing the piano, you might find Rachel reading books with her son or walking her beagle, Frida. Rachel, welcome to the show. It's great to see you.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here, Tim.
Well, we happened to meet. We bumped into each other at the lobby at the NCKP conference in Chicago this year. It was quite serendipitous, fortuitous, because of what we're about to talk about today as we introduce you to the Top Music team and family and tell everyone all about that. But before that, you are a music teacher and an accomplished one at that. Tell us a little bit about your studio. Where are you? What kind of ages do you teach? That sort of thing.
Sure. So I am in Orange, California, just a few minutes down the road from Disneyland. And I'm the director of a conservatory at a Lutheran church and school. So it's St. John's Conservatory of the Arts. And this is, I guess, my day job is I'm the director there. And the church actually has been around since, I think, 1881. So it's a long-standing church in the community. And then they have a K-8 school that has also been around for almost as long. And then the conservatory was started, I believe, in the 1980s, probably. And it was closed down during COVID. The lady who was running it retired, and I don't think they wanted to deal with all the online stuff. So they just shut it down. And it was closed for about 2 years. And then they hired me on in 2022 to get it reopened. And so I pretty much was starting from scratch. Like, there were, you know, the previous lady had done everything by pen and paper and checks. And I came in and was like, I don't want to do things that way. And so I just really started from scratch, and I hired a whole new team of teachers and started marketing a little bit. Honestly, the marketing part of my job has been very easy because of the K-8 school. There's over 700 kids in the K-8 Lutheran school, and so that's where most of our students come from. So since, I guess, I've been there a little over a year and a half, and I have a team of about 16 teachers now and about 130 students.
Wow. And this is all instruments, I assume.
Yes. So piano is definitely our biggest. We have lots of littles. So like K through third or fourth grade that's what most of our students are. And so lots and lots of piano, but we also have voice and guitar and some brass instruments and strings.
Wow. So,
yeah.
Oh, so when you were saying conservatory, I was picturing tertiary, like school kids who have left school and they're studying music. It's not that. It's the music school of the Lutheran school. Is that right?
Yes. So it really is, you would compare it to a community music school. I think conservatory is maybe a little bit of a misnomer.
I was thinking that, yes.
Yeah.
But it sounds great.
I know. But we aren't as maybe serious as a typical conservatory would be.
Right. No, that sounds really interesting. And it's quite unusual. Most churches in Australia don't have schools attached. I know that churches with schools is more of a thing in England, but I had no idea that was a thing in America. Is it common or actually quite rare?
It's fairly common. I think the Lutherans particularly really value education and value, you know, high quality education. And so there are quite a few Lutheran churches that have schools attached. I think that St. John's is one of the largest ones, though, particularly for just K through 8.
And I think Bach was a Lutheran, wasn't he?
He was, yes.
You're in good company.
Yes, one of the most famous, for sure.
So when did you start teaching? How old were you? Were you one of the sort of teenagers that started teaching the next door neighbor's kid or later on in life?
Well, I was one of those teenagers. I think I started when I was maybe in eighth grade. So my mom was a school teacher. She was a kindergarten teacher before she retired. And so we had to go to school early, you know, because she had to be there to set up her classroom and everything. And so I would always go and play the piano during those 30, 45 minutes before school. And one of the other school teachers asked if I would teach his daughter piano. And so that was my first student, was another kid, because I really was a kid and I had no idea what I was doing. I mean, none of us did at that age, I guess, but I couldn't even fill the 30 minutes. I think I remember her mom telling me, I'm paying for 30 minutes and you're only giving her 25.
Oh, embarrassing.
I know, right? So that was my first foray into teaching. And then honestly, you know, I had a few students in when I was in undergrad and whatnot. But after I graduated from undergrad, I got my first job as an accompanist and became really interested in accompanying. And so that's what the bulk of my career was for about 20 years, was as an accompanist or collaborative pianist. And I taught some along the way. My first staff accompanist job after my master's degree, it also involved teaching class piano for non-majors. So I taught some class piano to college kids. And then some of those kids were particularly interested in piano, I guess. And so I would take them on as private students. So I had a few students along the way. But it really wasn't until, I guess, COVID that I kind of came back to teaching.
Oh, right. There you go. Okay. So was your undergrad in music?
Yes. So my undergrad was in piano performance.
Performance. And then you did a master's?
Yeah. The master's in accompanying. Yes.
In accompanying. Okay. And then now the drum roll, you've got a PhD, which I think is really cool because I cannot see myself ever getting one. But I'm always fascinated to ask people, what was your PhD all about? Because there are some real doozies out there which is just unimaginably complex and hard to understand. What was yours about?
So it's actually a DMA, which I guess is more of a performance-based degree than the PhD is more research, I guess. So my DMA is in collaborative piano. I went to University of Colorado at Boulder, and they have a really strong collaborative piano program there. Yeah, so I did a doctorate in collaborative piano, and I thought I would be a collaborative pianist for the rest of my life, honestly. I never...
Is that a living? Can you make a living? Is there enough work out there? Yeah, okay. It's probably more work out. Well, it's far more work out there than for a solo concert pianist, let's be honest, right?
Honestly, yes. And I think that's one of kind of the misnomers, or is that the right word? Misnomers about collaborative piano is that maybe people who aren't as good of pianists, you know, they'll accompany, right?
Yes.
But really, I thought of it as a way to be a performing pianist. I thought I can get a job as an accompanist. I can actually be on stage playing the piano, you know, probably multiple times per week. Whereas many solo pianists don't get that opportunity. So I guess that was one of the attractive things to me, is that I actually got to play the piano for a living. So I shouldn't probably say this on this podcast, but I really didn't want to teach for a long, long time. I wanted to play. And so that's kind of why I pursued that avenue.
No, I think that makes a lot of sense. And in fact, I did far more accompanying. I've never been a concert pianist, as most people know, and the thought just terrifies me anyway. But I'm more than happy to accompany, more than happy. And I have spent a lot of my career doing the same thing and making quite a good living from it. And I have worked in a lot of schools, and the piano teacher is always doing all the accompanying. And so I've accompanied every single instrument from bassoon to tuba to violin to orchestras and choirs. And you know what? There's, like you mentioned before, you know, if you're not quite good enough to be a concert player, then maybe you'll be an accompanist. Actually, it's quite a different skill set, let's be honest. And I think it takes maybe some more skill in some ways to work with other people and get that balance and, you know, eye contact and being in time and helping them when they stuff up and, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's quite complex, isn't it?
It is. And a lot of my doctorate, I was thinking about this before I hopped on here. If I had to sum up my doctorate, I think I would say it was all about learning to listen, because as a solo pianist, you're only listening to yourself, right? And, you know, usually have the melody in that top finger. My undergrad teacher used to call it bloody pinky, because your melody is always up in the top pinky, right? But as an accompanist, you have to listen to the other person. You have to balance differently. You have to, you know, different instruments, you listen differently to a string player with a bow as opposed to a tuba player who might have a delayed onset, or a singer where you're listening to the vowels. So that's a lot of what we did in my doctorate, honestly, was learning how to listen differently.
What's been your favorite instrument, or voice for that matter, to accompany?
Wow. Well, I've always loved the cello. Just listening to a cello and the way it can sing in a way that the piano can't quite do. Honestly, we can try, but we can't quite do it. So I think probably cello has been my favorite.
And do you have a favorite work of piano with another instrument that you either like listening to or have enjoyed performing?
I love the Brahms sonatas and of course, the Beethoven sonatas with, you know, all the stringed instruments. The one that actually is coming to my head that I really loved playing was the Reinecke flute sonata. I played that in my doctorate, and it's just so lovely. So
there you go. Reinecke. I've got a couple of his pieces that I used to teach at younger levels, which are actually quite fun. A little lesser known, but yeah, great music. Hi everyone, I wanted to take a moment to let you know about an amazing community of music teachers ready to welcome you over at Top Music Pro. Top Music Pro is the global hub for music teachers looking to connect, learn, grow, and be challenged in both their teaching and studio businesses. Community members save time by accessing hundreds of step-by-step lesson plans, creative teaching frameworks, business guides, online courses, and workshops. We offer training in topics as diverse as music technique, lead sheets, website building, intermediate repertoire, group teaching, and special needs teaching. We also save you money through our extensive discounts, including those with Music Notes, Sheet Music Plus, Music Room, Office Depot, Tonebase, and many more. And if you like sheet music, all our members get a free book of studio licensed, beautifully engraved sheet music each and every month. As a valued podcast listener, you can check out the Top Music Pro community free for 14 days by heading to topmusicpro.com, clicking Join Now on our studio tier, and using the special coupon code IMTPOD23. That's all one word. So that's IMTPOD23. We can't wait to welcome you inside.
There you go. Well, coming back full circle to where we started the conversation, we were in the lobby at NCKP and I'm like, ha, you're Rachel, aren't you? And the reason I knew you is because you'd started a podcast. And as a fellow podcaster, I'm always interested to meet up with other people and talk shop, as they say. So what made you want to start a podcast?
Yes. Well, it was another one of those things that I never wanted to do, actually. So a couple of my friends, you know, had talked about starting podcasts and I was like, that's great for you, but that's not something I could see myself doing. I don't like to talk particularly. And there was nothing on my heart that I felt called to start a podcast about. And then I was, you know, after I kind of got settled in at the conservatory with that job, I've always had, well, not always, but for the past few years, I've sort of had this entrepreneurial bug. And I've heard once you get it, you can't quite get rid of it. So I wanted to do something kind of on the side. And I wasn't sure what it was going to be. And I was thinking about all these different ideas. And somehow this idea just came to me to do a podcast about all the different creative resources available for piano teachers. And I started looking and there's, you know, there's several great piano podcasts out there, including yours, but many of them are broader. They talk about the business of being a studio owner and various things. And I really wanted to hone in on this idea of creative resources. And once I got the idea in my head, I couldn't shake it. So then I just started going down the path. And yeah, I guess the rest is history, as they say. I think the other thing that kind of led me to that, though, is that when I was interviewing teachers for the conservatory, I was kind of looking for those teachers that would have that creative mindset where they would, you know, come in with all these great creative ideas beyond just teaching from the method books. And honestly, I would say probably all the teachers I interviewed, none of them really had that. They could all tell me their favorite method book, but beyond that, I felt like they weren't utilizing all these amazing resources that are available. And so it was a little bit selfish too. I thought this would also be a way to learn about resources for myself and my team of teachers and to share with them for the conservatory.
Well, I'm glad you did it because that's how we connected. And it's been great listening to your show and hearing it develop over time. And I've always just loved your style. It's really calm, but it's confident. It's, you know, you're so experienced and you bring that to the show. So, yeah, well done on getting it out there because I know it takes a lot of effort. It reminded me as well of in episode 235, I interviewed Angela Miles Beeching, who some of you will know the name of, who talked in that show about that, you know, that secret project in the back of your mind that's always been sitting there. And so many of us have that. It's that arrangement that we think we should write or that method book that we reckon we could do better or change, you know, or the course or whatever it is. And for you, it was ended up being a podcast. And I think lots of people listening may have that itch in the back of their head, that business idea, that entrepreneurial idea, whatever you might call it. And I would just love to encourage them to go and try it, start it. What are you going to lose? And you have so much to gain from it, as you have, Rachel. And look, I'm really excited with the news today that you have decided to accept the role of becoming host of our new podcast, the Top Music Piano Podcast. Hooray. Congratulations.
And thank you. I'm so excited. Thank you.
And in fact, this is also going to be my announcement, and I'll be talking about this in our final episode next week as well. The reason that I've asked you to come on the show is because I have decided to step back and have a bit of a break after 7 years and 360 episodes. I think it's just time to wrap things up and hand over to someone even more amazing than me, and that's you. So what made you keen to give this role a go? Because I really did throw it out of left field at you, didn't I?
Yes, you did. Well, I know that you have not known me very long at all. Like we met in July, but I have been a big fan of yours for much longer. So I started listening to your podcasts probably during COVID. That's kind of when I started listening to podcasts, honestly. And yours was one of the very first ones that I listened to. And I guess I didn't really tell the story of how I kind of got back into teaching. But during COVID, a couple of my neighbors asked me if I would be willing to teach their kids. And at that time, my accompanying work had kind of fallen by the wayside for obvious reasons.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. So I started teaching a couple neighbor kids beginner piano. And I knew I wanted to do it differently than I had back in eighth grade. And so I started doing a little research, and your podcast was really inspirational to me. I remember hearing about, like, I remember vividly listening to an episode about the Notebook Beginners, which has come full circle to your book, just being released.
Just this week.
Yeah. And I wasn't brave enough to go full Notebook Beginners, but I used a lot of those ideas. I used some of your games. You have a resource where it's accompaniments for like a white key accompaniment, black key accompaniment. Mm. So I downloaded those and I still use those. I used one yesterday with one of my students. The part of the story that you don't even know is when we were at NCKP, you were actually one of the first people I saw when I got there on Wednesday.
Oh, I didn't know. Right.
Yeah. But it took me until Saturday to get up the courage to come and introduce myself. Because at that point, I had only done, I think, about 12 episodes of the podcast. So I was so new. And so I like sheepishly came over to introduce myself. And obviously, I'm so glad that I did.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's been wonderful to get to know you. And I know that this show is going to be in great hands. What do you see ahead for the show? Have you had a thought about some angles you'd like to take or even guests you might like to interview?
Yeah. So I think one of the things I'm excited about, which might sound a little funny based on what I said a little bit ago about how I love the angle of just doing creative resources, but now I'm excited to broaden a little bit and have the freedom to talk about the business side and some of the elements that don't quite fit into my show. I would love to do maybe some episodes about collaborative piano and what that could mean to piano teachers and growing a studio. Yeah, as far as potential guests, I think my dream guest would be my piano teacher from my undergrad. She was amazing. And I hope maybe I can get her to come on the show. I don't know. She's a little bit older, but I think she could do it.
What a great idea.
Yeah. She's just one of those people who, she was a phenomenal pianist and also a phenomenal teacher. And she loved teaching kids, but she was amazing at teaching us advanced students as well. And she was also one of those people, you could hear her laugh all the way down the hall. She was just like a joy to be around. So that's my dream guest. So maybe I can manifest that right now.
Yeah, that's great. I love that angle of the collaborative music making too, because I haven't, even though I've done so much of it and spent so much time on it and probably really burnt myself out of it. By the time I finished up at Xavier College, which was my last post, I was done with accompanying. It's quite, when you're out in a school and you're just given student after student for exams, particularly over here, And then also for high level exams, and you're having to practice. I mean, at low level, I could sight read most of it, but high level, you're practicing. So I was actually happy to move on. So I haven't talked about it that much, but it's so important because, you know, one of those pillars I believe strongly in is, particularly for piano students, is social music making. The things that we remember often as children or in our younger years as pianists, for me at least, are the things that I did with other people. It's accompanying the school show or playing in the band or the orchestra. It's not sitting at home practicing or playing for myself. It's about the social aspect of it. So if there are elements, there are ways that we can use some of those collaborative piano ideas for helping teachers see if they can get students together accompanying each other, even two piano stuff, duet things, playing for other instruments in their household or at their school. I mean, that would be gold.
Yes, I agree. It's so fun to play with other people.
Yes, and it makes you a better pianist too. You have better rhythm. You have better listening, as you said before. So many good things can come of it. Well, look, that is super exciting. And thanks for sharing the backstory of the conference. I didn't know that. That's really exciting. It's great to have you with us. Now, for those listening, though, you need to go and become a subscriber of the new show. So this show that you're listening to right now is going to go on pause. The Integrated Music Teaching Podcast will pause. And if you want to keep listening to Top Music Piano content, you need to go and grab a subscription to, it's all free, like this one, to Rachel's show. And we've created a link for it, topmusic.co/new show. All one word, new show, easy. That will take you to the Apple Podcast feed, but you can also use whatever app you are listening to this in, whether that's Spotify or Overcast or the podcast player on your phone, just search for the Top Music Piano Podcast and Tim Topham or Rachel Ehring, you should be able to find it. And if you can't, let us know. We'll make sure we get you the link, but go and do that right now while you think about it, because as I say, this show will go on pause and then you'll be not hearing from any top music person when we've got this incredible show coming from Rachel really, really soon. So thank you for coming on the show today, Rachel. And we will make sure that we connect everybody with your new show. If you've got any questions for Rachel at this stage, just reach out to our support team, support@topmusic.co. And you can also connect with Rachel inside our membership because you are part of that now too, of course. So anything else would you like to say before we wrap up today's show?
No, I would love to hear from listeners. If they have ideas for shows or guests, feel free to reach out to me in the membership or email. Yeah, I'm certainly open to ideas. I don't have much really planned yet, so bring me all your ideas.
Fantastic.
I'm so excited. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I'm just beyond thrilled.
It's been wonderful to have you on the show today. Thank you so much, and we'll see you all next week. Thanks, Rachel.
Thank you, Tim.
Well, I trust that you've enjoyed meeting the host of your new show, the Top Music Piano Podcast, Rachel. It's been fantastic to be working with Rachel, and I can't wait to hear how things develop over the coming weeks. Now, with the new Top Music Piano Podcast show comes the news that, yes, this show will be going on a bit of a break for a while. After 7 years and 360 episodes, I've decided to take a bit of a step back from the regular weekly podcasting and focus on some other areas of our business at Top Music and the way that we support teachers. So if you would like to continue to connect with the Top Music family and particularly the piano resources that we have, then make sure you do search for and subscribe to the new show. So just go to any podcast player, the one that you're on right now, or Spotify or wherever you like listening to podcasts, and just search for Top Music Piano Podcast. You'll be able to find it. And make sure you stay connected to us. This show may come back in the future. I'm not too sure. There's one episode next week, the final episode next week, by the way, which is our live recording where we will be having a number of teachers join us for the show. And that's our wrap-up of the year 2023 and also talking about what's coming up for 2024. So that's going to be great. That's next week. But that will be my final show for a period of time while I take a bit of a break. Now, one of the other things that is coming up in January is the next cohort of our Top Music Certification program. So here's what Joe told us about Top Music Certification. From the perspective of a relatively new teacher, I'd say that this has been a wonderful learning experience in a genuinely supportive forum. It has felt like a really safe space to talk openly about your challenges and to learn and grow in a fantastically creative way. It has been great fun, and I've looked forward to seeing everyone weekly. I will really miss the group when the course has come to an end. And this from Michael. This is the most comprehensive course I've done to improve my teaching skills and my business. The course encourages you to think about different aspects of teaching in many ways, sharing new ideas and improving old ones in real time with teachers from around the world. It's a fun and friendly environment with a flexible approach to learning and assessment. So what we're talking about is our Top Music Certification program. We're going to be opening up our next enrollment at the start of January for a new cohort that we'll be taking through the program starting in February. So it'll go February, March, April. And in order to have all your questions answered and to give you more information about it, if you're considering joining the next cohort, then I highly recommend you join our next Q&A, which will be held on Tuesday, the 9th of January at 8 a.m. Australian time. That's Monday, the 8th of January in the afternoon and evening if you're in America and London. The link to register your spot and get the Zoom link is at topmusic.co/TMC. So this is Monday, the 8th of January. That'll be Chicago time, 3 p.m., Los Angeles time, 1 p.m.
and 9 p.m. in London on Monday the 8th of January, which is Tuesday morning here in Australia. So if you can't make it, by the way, make sure you register anyway. We'll send you a link to be able to watch the replay. Ideally, if you are serious and committed about becoming Top Music Certified, then please do your best to make that meeting because it will give you the opportunity to ask questions which you may have. Well, thanks for joining me for the show this week. I do hope you've enjoyed it. And as I say, once more, go and make sure you subscribe to that new show because you won't be getting new podcasts from this show for a little bit of time. So that's over at Top Music Piano Podcast. Just search for it and you'll be able to find it. Until next week, I'm Tim Topham and you've been listening to the Integrated Music Teaching Podcast. In fact, when I speak to you next week, that'll be the last time for a little while. So make sure you do tune into the show. I'll chat then. Bye-bye. How do you keep up to date with all the latest trends and research into music education? How do you connect with other teachers around the world and make sure your teaching stays fresh and relevant for students of all ages and stages, both now and into the future? I created our Top Music Pro membership to be the one-stop shop for music teaching resources, training, support, and community, and I'd love for you to come and join us inside. With over 40 comprehensive training courses, hundreds of teaching demonstrations and lesson plans, free monthly sheet music, discounts, and all the business and pedagogy support you could ever need, Top Music Pro is the community you've been looking for. If you're ready to level up your learning from the podcast and join thousands of other teachers in our global network, head over to topmusicpro.com today. If you enjoy this show and want to hear more of our work, be sure to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening today. For links and resources mentioned in this episode, visit us at topmusic.co/podcast or check out the show notes. I'm Tim Topham, and this is the Integrated Music Teaching Podcast, a production of Top Music. Thank you so much for listening. Enjoy your week ahead, and I'll catch you next time.